Good evening, everyone. This is W2TTT. Any stations with emergency or party traffic, please come down. This is W2TTT. Okay, nothing heard. The stations wishing to participate in the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net, otherwise known as the Barra Tech Net, are welcome to participate whether or not you have an amateur radio, whether or not you have a membership in Barra, but you do have to have an amateur radio license that allows you the privileges to transmit the 2-meter amateur radio band here in these here United States. The purpose of this net is to exchange technical ideas, ask questions about virtually anything related to amateur radio electronics, telecommunication, things that depend on those things, which is pretty much everything in our society, so you can pretty much talk about anything you want if you really want to. Well, just gonna kind of tie it back, or if nothing else, ask me to, I'll help you. My name is Gordon, I'm W2TTT. This net can be accessed via the 146.955 repeater. Our host is the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club. And the repeater is located in Alpine, New Jersey, and requires a tone of 141.3. 141.3 to get into the repeater, just like the 79 repeater and the 1070 repeater. You know, another way to access this net is to come in via Echolink, and that's done by looking up K2 Foxtrot Juliet dash L for link. K2, Kilo 2, if you will, Foxtrot Juliet hyphen Lima for link. So if you'd like to do that with your Echo station or an Echolink from another node, go right ahead. That's how you can access this net. Okay. Check-in for this net's a little different than other nets. We check in with our call sign, our name, and whether or not we have a question or a comment or none of the above. We actually encourage stations to check in whether or not they have a question or a comment, even if they don't, because that helps us guide the conversation to things that we know you might be interested in. So, with no further ado, get started. We're going to look for alpha calls first tonight. I don't think we've started with alpha calls in a couple of weeks. There's been a couple of months since we had an alpha call check-in, but that doesn't really matter. So, any station whose call sign begins with alpha, please call K2 Bravo Alpha Romeo with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment, or none of the above. Nothing heard. Let's go to the November stations tonight.
This is MS2K, Jim. No questions right at this point.
Okay. Alrighty, MS2K is in there. Who else with the Novembers?
N2OEL. Noel, one question.
Oh, yes. Hello, Noel. Got your one question so noted. And let's see. Let's see. All right. One more. Any other November stations? Great. Let's go to the whiskey stations. Any stations whose call sign begins with whiskey? With your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment, or none of the above, please call KTBAR. Okay. Well, we know we have one whiskey station. Anyway, Kilo 2's call signs that begin with Kilo and followed immediately by the number 2.
K2FAZ, Tony, one question.
Tony, you're in. You're about 90% quieting, too. Good, I got your question. Registered here. Excellent, excellent. Any other Kilo 2's?
K2DSL, David, no questions. No comment.
Hi, David. No problem, either. Okay. Any other Kilo 2s? Alrighty. Any other Kilos? Any call sign? Kilo.
KO2, okay. No question.
Hi, Bennett. Well, you got in early this time. Good for you. All right, very good. Anybody else with a Kilo? Any other call sign, your pick. Please call KTVA with your call sign, your name, whether or not you have a question or comment, or none of the above. You know, before we get too far afield, I just wanted to remind everybody that we have a simulated emergency test. It's the annual one. Bergen County is participating in several different ways. To my knowledge, between 8 and 9 in the morning, there will be a call up on 146-535 for the RACI stations. They should be done by 9 according to the published reports. And then other operators are asked, whether or not you are affiliated with any organization, are asked to come or activate and make known to Mike Adams, that Ramsey OEM, your availability between 11 and 2. They're going to kick off something about 11:30, but about 11:30. So stations that want to go to Ramsey should, and we'll go from there. Bring what you could bring to bear reasonably. It's our only. There we go. I've got a head cold, guys, so we'll loop here, and I'm not taking anything other than, you know, a real basic, you know, aspirin and anti-mucus thing. But anyway, the bottom line is that come 11:30, you know, whatever you have will be appropriately inventoried and dispatched to perform a function by Mr. Mike or his staff. So you don't have to be a member of any organization to come. You just have to have an amateur license and perhaps equipment. And if you don't, you're still welcome to come just to see what it's all about. You're welcome to do that as well. Observers are welcome. Alrighty. About anybody who has any further questions on that, I can send you some printed material via email at w2tangotangotango@arrl.net. Alrighty. Our first question of the evening is someone who's very indifferent, or is it differential? I'm not sure. Or maybe he's just deferential. We'll see. N2OL, key to the air.
Oh, let me put this thing to low power. Hang on. But I just realized I'm transmitting at 50 watts, and that's kind of ridiculous. Here we go. Five routes and watts of RF power. One of the things I noticed on the fox hunt is the foxes, the hounds can get within about 1,500 feet with no problem. Whereupon they lose the fox because the RF saturates the environment so much that the single thing can be coming from all directions at the same time. Even though I was transmitting with a half a watt, using a 2-inch rubber ducky, which is probably 12 or 15 dB down. So it's probably putting out 10 or 12 milliwatts when you figure it out, effective radiated power. Still, somebody right across the river, within 400 feet of me, I could see where Charlie was, who was next to this white building, couldn't get a direction. Tony was 600 feet away, 500 feet on the northern pier, and I was on the southern pier, so to speak. And he couldn't get a direction, just overwhelmed him. And I know from my past experience that even with my lab grade attenuators, I have two. One is 0 to 100 to 120, 10 dB set. I have one that's 0 to 43. I think it's got a 20, couple fives, a three, a one, two and a one. Yeah, that's what it is. Anyways, still not enough. Because it leaks right through the cable. Most of our G58's only about 98% when you drop it. So, and even when I took off the spring box up, I took off the antenna completely and was trying to use body shielding. The Icon 2H that I had, HD, read S9 plus 60 in all directions, but no antenna. I was able to get a direction when I was 1,000 feet away, 2,000 feet away, but when I got close, forget it. So we've been researching the problem. We discussed a little bit on yesterday's set. And one of the things that's available is called an offset attenuator. It's basically a little oscillator. It runs a 2 meg or 4 meg. And on 4 meg, you listen to the 36 harmonic, which is actually quite strong because it's a square wave oscillator with supposedly infinite harmonics, but not really. And you can shift your frequency to somewhere to difference by 4 meg or 2 meg. One of the things that Ben brought up in yesterday's discussion was he was afraid it was going to transmit into it. Something like the circuitry, we'd probably cook it. And Jim Joyce said, well, just let's simply use the 4 meg one. Most of our HDs could receive it. All scanners pretty much could receive it. But with the HD, it won't transmit out of band, so you wouldn't cook it. So we're looking at a few different ones. And we're wondering if you had any comments. Should we go with the one with discrete components that we build by piece by piece, buying all the pieces? Should we buy one of the pre-made kits? The price range for the kits range from $18 and lots of 12, all the way up to $60 plus shipping. Back to that. This is NQOM.
Yeah, you know, that might make a good thing. I'm looking at N0OV's various web pages on the subject, and it really does work well. But let's take a step back for a minute here and just explain to people what's really happening. Stand by. The sneeze issues here, guys, so just bear with me here. All right, so you have a signal that's coming in over the air, and it's too strong to essentially be effectively discerned no matter where you point the antenna. The antenna is, as a matter of fact, you have any kind of antenna, even a piece of coax, even leaky coax, even unintentionally leaky coax, allows too much signal to get into the front of the radio, so you can't get a good S-meter reading because it all kind of looks the same. The best you could do is hope to figure out where the nulls are and go halfway between the nulls and go back and forth that way, and even then you'll probably have two directions to sort out. So it's not a good answer. So what this does is this oscillator, by tuning it such that it's on the same frequency as the signal you want and just a little out of phase, just by tweaking it a hair off frequency, you take you basically are creating a differential in power between the desired signal and the one that you synthesized. They arrive nearly 180 degrees out of phase, and that knocks down the signal. They cancel each other out, if you will. By canceling each other out, you get a much lower signal to then process in the receiver, and you can look left, right, sideways, and actually have some, you know, readable readings and signal strength as a result of the mixing of the intended signal and the differential oscillator signal. So that's how basically it works. You're creating a signal out of phase that attenuates what you get out, and that's what you're working with the remaining little bit of signal. So that's the concept. So, K0OV seems to be a big honcho on this. He's got an article that explains it in gory detail, and there's also a construction kit. I don't know which kit you were referring to, but the K-Zero Oscar Victor, his stuff was homebrew, if you will, on a breadboard. Anybody have any comments? Well, go ahead then.
I think I'm going to be listening 4 meg off. So if I was listening to the signal at 146.52, I think I'd be listening to 150.52 or 142.52.
That very well could be, and you can do it that way as well. You listen to the difference of, a frequency, something 4 megahertz off, but you're still having that same effect, I would think. And I have not a chance to read the theory of the article, but there are several articles here. And if you look up, what do you call it, zones? What's the offset attenuator, Google offset attenuator, you'll see exactly what Noel is referring to.
Nothing else. The dog and I are sitting here. finishing my dinner, which I bought from the wonderful farmer's market in Maywood. It also makes dinners to go. Stuffed pork chops. And two OEM.
What was it stuffed with?
It's like stuffing, bread mixture. Delicious. And two OEM.
Told you didn't need the potato salad.
Okay, very good. Anybody else have any comments on the subject?
NS2K.
NS2K, go ahead.
Good evening. Yeah, now I don't think I tried to do a fix really close, but just from up and down the river a short distance, usually from the other side. Anyway, I didn't run into the situation with too much leakage. I ended up using a pretty nice little SMA-type attenuator, and I ended up using as much as 70 dB on that. But I used some of where did I get it from, Dave or somebody? A short piece of Teflon SMA jumpers. Yeah, some military, whatever they were. Yeah, very high end, but surplus, so the price was, I don't know, $3, $4, or $5, something like that. Not infinite. But I didn't run into any leakage problems like that using the little Kenwood tri-bender.
Well,
I was cheap using cheap half-grade cable, and every time I get close, I get leakage, and I'm using the lab-grade 120 dB attenuator. But the funny thing is, my radio with no antenna, it overloaded. When I was at Charlie's, which is, what is it, 1 watt or 2 watt, I was the length of two baseball diamonds away, and I couldn't really tell direction. And two OEM.
When I was standing almost directly over your head, up on the deck of the parking lot, I had a, you know, obviously not very far away at all, and direct line of sight with this setup and using that little Kenwood. I had very good loss in when I was pointed in the wrong direction. Yeah, it would still go right down to virtually nothing. So it's quite a testimony to that little radio. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I would agree. I used it at 216 megahertz in several RDF environments, and I found it to be quite acceptable. It'd be just a little skilled. In fact, you couldn't trust the S meter because it wasn't peak reading. It's an integrated, got a little bit of an integrated circuit driving it. So there are problems with that, but I could tell by ear whether the signal was getting stronger or weaker when it finally got down to that last milliwatt or less. Anyway. Anybody else? Okay, well, I would like to suggest that, you know, Noelle, why don't you investigate the suggestion that Bennett had, or Bennett, why don't you investigate it, and the two of you make a motion on Sunday and for the club to make such an investment and see how many people will sign up to buy the dozen units, and away we'll go. If they have to be done a dozen, or if they can be done once, even better. I think that would make a marvelous purchase activity. So, Noel, back to you.
So we have 5-6 months till the next one. We've got lots of time to think about it. One of the things I'd like to do at kid night is practice some of the clothes in and take a look at what Mr. Jackson is using and see how his works. maybe all I have to do is put my receiver in a metal box and use a high-grade coax coming in, which might take care of my problem for that situation. But as I said, even shielding it with my body didn't work. Of course, I was in it when he was on the roof. He should have been able to see my antenna. Of course, it was necessary camouflage. It was six of those 4 foot, 2 inch poles that they're told that they're half inch, they're fiberglass, maybe 3 inches across, with a ring on the top. And I had the J pole hanging from the top down with about 25, 30 feet of coax going to my IC2, ICOM 208H. Anyways, if I was using that, I would have probably overpowered him. But at that point, I think when he was up there, I was using the rubber ducky, the HG. I was facing the river, so my body was in the way. So there was I probably wasn't transmitting more than 10 or 15 milliwatts TR effective radiative power, and then I had my body in the way. So I'm not sure. We got to try this out at the parking lot at midnight and see what happens if I turned around, for instance. M2OEL.
Okay, anybody else have any final comments?
KO2, okay.
Good, then.
Noel, if you bring your radio again and try it out, I'd like to bring my HT that I had wrapped in aluminum that let me slide it in and out of the aluminum for various attenuation, because I really thought I could get rid of most of any reception. So I'd like to see how good it really works if in close in range. So if you bring your radio, I'll bring mine.
Okay, I'll bring. I'm looking at a piece of stovepipe. I believe it's 4-inch stovepipe, but I wouldn't swear to it. It might be 6-inch. Anyway, stovepipe. And that was, I got about 2 feet there with a metal cap at one end and a plastic plumbing fitting so I could put a stick through it. And the idea is that you could put your HT wrapped to that stick with a couple of rubber bands, turn up the volume high, put in either no antenna. I have also a BNC connector with about an inch of wire sticking out, the center conductor, if I need more antenna. The idea is you pull it in and out of the metal shield, and since it is acting as a waveguide below the cutoff frequency, it should attenuate probably 150 dB. I mean, something really fantastic once you pull the HT all the way in. So I'd like to try that out too. We could do some experiments at midnight. Back to that. This is it, Julio.
Okay, very good. Sounds like we have a plan for not just the next midnight, but maybe even for Sunday night. It sounds like you're going to have a bit of a show and tell to show us. I think that'd be good. All right. Anybody else on the subject of DFing, attenuation, et cetera? Okay, we've beaten that horse to death. It's a reminder that Sunday is the Barrow meeting. It's going to be on Sunday at 7:40, let's say. And doors open around 7 at the Red Cross Building on Godwin Avenue. Please come, bring your smile, and this is show and tell, member show and tell, so feel free to bring, what do you call it, what do you get? Oh dear me, anyway, someone sent me an email, the subject line was just beautiful. Anyway, thank you for your observation, the anonymous contributor. Yeah, I've got a bit of a head cold, but I'm in good spirits as long as I can, keep talking here. But anyway, it's member show and tell, so bring something you can show off in a couple of minutes real quick, and bring information about it so that other people can go do it too. That wasn't in the request, but you should bring information if you can clip out something and maybe a reference article or propaganda for the manufacturer on it, you know, maybe print out a couple of copies. I think, you know, otherwise use the scrap paper if no one wants them. And, you know, do that kind of thing. It's nice. I know I'm bringing my show to tell. In fact, I'm going to be testing it shortly yet again, and we'll go from there. So let's see. Who's up next? I forgot now here who's up next, but I will check real quick. Other question comes from Tony, K2FAZ, K2BAR.
K2BAR, K2FAZ. My question is, I built a Super Tape Altimeter 440, about 8 feet long, and I had it tuned up with some pipe clamps, and I had my feed line off the pipe clamp, and I was able to tune it up 1-to-1 on 2 meter, and it was maybe 1-to-3 on 440. So I took the clamp, marked it, took the clamps off, and soldered my wires on, and my SWR was off the meter. And I can't figure out why, because it put them in the same exact spot. I put the clamps back on. I haven't gone back to try it again, but I was wondering if someone had a opinion on why the SWR might have changed drastically without the clamps.
Did you distort the coax in any way with the heat when you soldered them up?
No.
Is the point of attachment the same, or did you pick a median point for the clamp? Because it's wherever the wires from the coax first make contact with the copper.
So, yeah, I thought about that, and the clamps are about half an inch tall. They clamp on the front and back of the copper half-inch pipe, and then the feed line goes into where there's like a little screw hole. You put the wire and tighten down the screw on top of it. That's the only difference. And they were both a six, and so the SWR was green. So I have taken it apart and put the clamps back on, but I haven't had the chance to go back out and retune it. But I just thought it was odd.
Yeah, I've had that too. Did you use half inch or three quarter?
Half inch.
Okay. What was the spacing between the two vertical spots?
Well, okay. Well, the spacing was, I think it's like, it's about two and a half inches, I believe, center to center, if I remember right. And that does bring up a point. The clamps, the insides of the clamps would have been closer together than the wires to touch the pipe.
That's where I was going. Okay, very good. That may be your source of the anomaly.
Okay, so I'm going to try it out, and I'll check back in next week and let you know the results. The other part of that is I saw an article where someone said to switch the center conductor with the ground plane and have your center conductor on the matching section. And I wondered what your opinion would be on that, where would the end result be the same?
It shouldn't matter which way you orient it, other than for mechanical stability, maybe aesthetics.
Okay. Back to the net. Thank you.
But I'll tell you what, when you put it back on the same way it was the first time. And if you soldered it on opposite, then check that too. Anyway, it's good hearing you, Tony. Alrighty. There being no further questions, I have something to talk about in a second. Just wondering if there are any more check-ins with or without questions. Please call K2BAR. Okay. Must be like women's beach volleyball or something last couple of weeks, because ever since we changed frequencies, there's been a little less activity, although I make announcements on 7-9 to remind people where we are. And I'll make a reminder at the meeting as well. also your Barra Bulletin has it.
Speaking of the Barra Bulletin,
I got sent something from Carver W2TFM, and Carver is a member of the Bicycle Touring Club of New Jersey and a long time radio amateur. In fact, I found out that Dick Colton, K1JMI, often heard on this repeater, and he went to school together in high school. So, and it was Dick who got Carver interested in amateur radio. But Carver's been a big proponent of amateur radio, supported the bike rides and the Ramapo Rally, which we've now done the last 2 years as a group of radio amateurs from Bergen County and beyond, has really, really paid off. And I really wish they had taken a different tact on this, but they basically tagged me for being their ham of the month, or pardon me, their volunteer of the month. As a non-cyclist, I thought that was rather amusing, but more importantly, really, the congratulations and honors go to all those who participated either this year or last year, or both, in supporting the Bicycle Touring Club of New Jersey and their bike rides. So, you know, kudos to you all. In any case, I'm going to drop it for a second. I did buy a new battery, and it's to operate both the computer and radios off of. It's 9,800 milliampere hour, or 9.8 ampere hour, at 12.6 volts. Nice little, you know, fist-sized package, and lithium ion. Comes with a little wall charger. That's pretty good. And as a standard coaxial power output with the center hot and the outside cool, or negative, if you will. And that works out real well. And I bought the matching jack at Radio Shack, and it's a lot lighter than sealed lead acids for the amount of power they deliver. And so I'll be thoroughly exercising those today, tomorrow, and again on Saturday, so with FCT. So I've already made up one quick adapter out of a coaxial power jack and a couple of Anderson power poles, and away we go. So I was operating 50-watt radio in about the 20-watt range off these things yesterday. It worked out real well. So we'll show off that at the Barra meeting on Sunday night. If anyone's interested in detailed information, I'll have it then, but I can also email it to you now. Each pack costs $34. I bought three on spec, and it seems like I made a wise decision so far. Any questions about, or suggestions about portable power, please call K2B Air. Okay, well, it should be interesting. I mean, it's both physically smaller and also weight is much lighter. You can run a 703 or an 817 for a very, very long time off one of these things at full power, which is kind of neat. So, all right, if there are any other check-ins for that, please call K2B Air. Does anybody have any other further comments for that? Please call K2B Air. Okay, so just to recap, we've got the simulated emergency test on Saturday morning, 8 o'clock on your neighborhood racing frequency of 146.535 until 9 o'clock, and then somewhere around 11 or so. If you could be in Ramsey, that would be excellent if you can't. Get on the 1070 repeater, make your presence known, and we'll go from there. And then, of course, there's the Barra meeting Sunday night at 7. We gather at the Red Cross in Ridgewood, and then, of course, 7:30, 7:45, we start the meeting, which is member show and tell. So please bring cool stuff and bring references. And last but not least, the Barra Hamfest is a week from Saturday. At the West, what do you call it? good Lord, I can't remember. Westwood High School in Washington Township. Westwood High School in Washington Township. And so, you know, make that something you put on your calendar as well. It should be fun. So, any other questions, comments, confusions, late check-ins, etc. before we secure KTBAR? Alrighty, everybody. I want to thank NS2K, M2OEL, K2FAZ, who finally got a signal to come in. Nice signal, Tony. K2DSL and KO2OK for your checking in. This is an interesting net tonight, and I appreciate it. This is W2TTT for K2BAR, the Bergen Amateur Radio Association, thanking Just That Ridge Radio Company's repeater, and we'll stand by for anybody who wants to chat after the net. Godspeed, W2TTT.